Wow, that's an exciting song. We could just about end church on that, couldn't we? Amen. We all will have our Bibles. And have you figured out yet there's two sections to your Bibles? There's an Old Testament and a New Testament. In the New Testament, it tells us that much of the Old Testament is written to give us hope. We've been talking about how the saints of old, the patriarchs, believed that God was enough. Noah was told by God, you need to build a boat. He, trusting God, picked up his hammer, spent the next 100 years building a boat because he believed that if God said it, it would happen. Job lost his family, lost his health. And then he said, even if God slays me, I will trust him because he believed God was enough. Abraham, who had no children, his wife was barren, was told by God, look at the stars, one day your descendants will be every bit as many. And the Bible says he believed God and God counted to him for righteousness. Jacob, who was a deceiver and manipulative and a liar, had an encounter with God and God touched him. He went away changed because he learned God was enough. Joseph, sold into slavery, then imprisoned, never lost his hope, never lost his faith because he believed God was enough. We're going to change gears for the next 3 Sundays. And we're going to ask ourselves a question, why? Why is God enough? What is it about God that I can trust him and I can lean on him and I can depend? What is it about him that is that distinctive that I can trust him? You see, I know that we have people here today and some of you, you're going through some awfully hard times and you're wondering, can I trust him? Does he know what's going on in my family? Can I trust him? Is God really enough for me? And I want to just today, if I can just help build your faith, that God is enough. That whatever is happening within your family, God is enough. We have families here today whose lives have been transformed because God worked miracles. Whatever it is, God is enough. And today we're going to go back and I'm going to talk to you about why you can have faith in God and some of the attributes to God. And we're going to start off with this. We can believe that God is enough because God is omnipotent. God is omnipotent. Now, got to keep my guys in the sound booth paying attention to me up here. If you ever see me stop and stare at them back there, I'm trying to make eye contact with them. Yoo-hoo, I'm up here. Let me help you understand the word omnipotent. Omni means all. Potent means powerful. God is that God has all power. All the time, for any problem, for any circumstance, he has all power and all authority. There is nothing that you can be up against that's a problem for God. There is no obstacle that you will face that God's going to say, well, this is a problem. Now, let me give you a theological quote by A.W. Tozer. Excuse me, I forgot, my fault, that the omnipotent name for God, God Almighty, is El Shaddai. There's a couple of songs in the Hebrew. The word for God Almighty is El Shaddai. All right, let's go to that quote by A.W. Tozer. Since he, being God, has at his command all the power in the universe, the Lord God omnipotent can do anything as easy as anything else. All his acts are done without effort. He expends no energy that must be replenished. His self-sufficiency makes it unnecessary for him to look outside of himself for a renewal of strength. All the power required to do all that he wills to do lies in the undiminished fullness of his being. In other words, he has no limits. He never needs to be re-energized. He never has to sleep. He never has to wait till the next day. Now, let me tell you about an encounter in the Bible Moses had that I think will kind of help you understand what we're up against. God, if you remember, has called Moses and sent him back to Egypt to free Israel. They've been enslaved there for 400 years. And God sends Moses back, and Moses sits down with the people. He says, God has sent me. God's going to use me to deliver you. And they said, wow, that's exciting. He said, I'm going to go see Pharaoh now. So he goes to see Pharaoh. He lays out the command before God. God has sent me. The first thing you've got to do, Pharaoh, is let my people go out and worship me for 3 or 4 days. And Pharaoh says, what? These people are my slaves. I've got them working every day. And Moses says, God has commanded that you allow them to go and worship him for 3 days. Pharaoh says, no, not doing it. Not only that, I will make them from now on gather their own straw for the bricks that they have to make. I will all but double their workload. Since you've had that audacity to come to me and make such a foolish request. So for months and months after that, the Israelites had to go out to gather straw in the evening and night, that they could come back and the next day build brick all day. And they were exhausted and they were worn out, and they went to see Pharaoh. And they said, Pharaoh, please drop the quota of brick so we don't have to produce as many. Pharaoh said, no, you can blame it on Moses. So they go see Moses. Moses, look what you've done to us. You're working us to death. So Moses then walks out and says, God, what are you doing? God, I came to deliver the people because you sent me, and now we've put an added burden on them. God, have you messed up or what's going on? Then the Lord God looks at Moses and he says, Moses, do you know who I am? He said, I appeared to Abraham, I appeared to Isaac, and I appeared to Jacob, and I've appeared to you. I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. Do you think I'm concerned about that pipsqueak over in Egypt that calls himself Pharaoh, that runs himself around like a chicken with his head cut off? Do you think he gives me a moment's fear? Moses, let me make you this promise. He will let you go. And he won't let you go, and he will all but chase you out. He wants you to go so bad. But Moses, remember who I am. You see, here's what happens when our problems confront us, when our problems overwhelm us, when we feel like we're sinking in the pit sometimes. We become so obsessed with what is happening to us that we forget who is there with us. We forget that God omnipotent, God Almighty, that El Shaddai is with us with every storm we go through in life. So what the Lord had to tell Moses was to remind him, don't focus on Pharaoh. You focus on me. I've got a plan. He will let you go. Trust me. Now, what we're going to do here this morning is look at four ways that we see the omnipotence of God. Now, here's your first one. We see His omnipotence in creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was empty and dark. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. I believe there is one invention that we have done as humans that must have got God excited. One thing that we have done as humans that God said, now they'll know. That was when we launched into space the Hubble telescope. You see, up until this time, we walked outside and we looked up at a starry night. And we went, wow. And God said, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's all our eyes could see was just the starry night. I want to show you four images from the Hubble telescope. And this is what it can see. How much is it out past? It is infinite. But you talk about power. When we see what God has done in creation, we ought to say, no problem. God's got it, guys. No, these are pictures, images from the Hubble telescope into space that we cannot see with the naked eye. And I don't know if you know this or not, but they're preparing and launching a new telescope that'll take us even deeper in space. I am convinced that when God decided He wanted to have a people that He could have a relationship with, when God decided that He wanted to have a people that He could call His, He said, but I've got to build them a home. And I want it to be an awesome one. And that all He said, because remember, He is omnipotent, is let there be light. Scientists today, you ask any scientist, where did it all come from? We don't know. All we can tell you is it looks like it started from a big bang. Something happened and all of a sudden things began to fire out and spread out from it. But we don't know what happened. We do. God said, let there be light. And if He can do that in our universe, do you think there's any problem you've got that He can't handle? No. He's got it. You just need to trust Him and to depend on Him. Now, when we understand creation, there are those who would argue about creation that we have evolved. That we have evolved from lower animals, what we call macroevolution, the change in species. There's no documentation it's ever happened. Now, we all believe in microevolution, which is species change over time. Most of the dogs that you've got probably descended from a wolf. But they still look kind of like a wolf and they act like a wolf because that's what they are. God in His creation has stepped out and showed us that I can do anything. And we talk about the stars. Have you seen some of the fish that inhabit the depths of the seas? Wow. We have a very creative God that can do anything. And again, if he's that creative, if he's that powerful, if he's that awesome, you can trust him. When we go to the doctor and the doctor says, you need surgery. And he says, I'm going to send you to a surgeon who's the best in the area. And you go down and you sit and you talk with the surgeon. And he says, I've done this surgery hundreds of times. Been very successful at it. It's not a problem for me. You feel better because you think, I can put my life in his hands. He's been there. Well, our faith must be we put our life in the hands of God. We trust him regardless of the storm, regardless of the problem. Number two here, guys, we see his omnipotence in salvation. It says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God and our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Here's what that means. When you come to Christ and you become part of his family, he's going to protect you. We do believe in eternal security. Can you imagine if we walk through life thinking we can trip up at any moment and God turns his back on us? Now, there might be a point that we can arrive that we decide to walk away from God. But I know this, the devil can't have you because you're God's. And I know that we have to learn to trust him, that he is our strength, that he is our Savior. We have to understand that we do not walk alone. That we have with us the God of all creation, the omnipotent God, El Shaddai, who will be with us through every storm. And anything Satan throws up, the Lord's got it. Can't hurt. Now, I like to, in most sermons, get a little bit personal. Most of you know I love, when I'm watching television, to watch the Andy Griffith Show. It is simple, humor is simple, and so many really good life lessons in it. Another show I enjoy watching is Walker, Texas Ranger. Have I got any others in here that enjoy Walker? All right, good enough. All right. Let me tell you why I like it. First of all, it's real simple. Every plot is always the same. And here's the plot. Evil is going to rise. And evil is going to be defeated. And the guys on the white hats, the good guys, are always going to win. I like that. And I was talking to my wife a couple of weeks ago, and I was flipping channels, and there it was. I said, we're going to watch Walker, Texas Ranger. I said, I like it. The good guys always win. The bad guys lose, and somebody's going to get kicked in the head by Chuck Norris. I said, I like that. I don't know if you heard this before Sunday school. If you're out in the hall here, you may have heard it. I went online and looked up some Chuck Norris jokes. I don't know if you've ever have listened to them or not. Some of them are hysterical, I think. Let me just share a couple with you, okay? It says, Chuck Norris can make fire as he rubs two ice cubes together. Okay? Chuck Norris has a diary. It's called the Guinness Book of World Records. Bigfoot claims one day he saw Chuck Norris. Says Chuck Norris counted to infinity twice. When the boogeyman goes to bed at night, he checks his closet for Chuck Norris. And a doctor said Chuck Norris's blood type is AK-47. And one day Chuck Norris was bit by a cobra. And after 3 days of intense suffering, the cobra died. But this was my favorite, and I chuckled when I read it today. When Chuck Norris was born he drove his mom home from the hospital. Now let me tell you this. I've watched enough of it and I know the plots. And here's one thing I know. If you're with Chuck Norris, don't worry about anything. I don't care how bad the guys are or how many there are. He can handle it. Amen? I saw it said, when Chuck Norris shoots at someone, it's not that he's always a good shot, but the bullet is afraid to miss. God wants to surround us with himself. He wants us to have the same confidence someone does if Chuck Norris is with them. Wants them to have the same confidence that everything's okay. I remember thinking one time I was watching one of the old episodes of Superman years ago, black and white. And something was happening to Jimmy Olsen, and he was real scared. He was sitting right next to Clark Kent. But he's still scared. Jimmy Olsen is scared, and he's sitting next to Clark Kent. I'm like, dude, you're sitting next to Superman. You've got no fear. Nothing. And how Satan must look at us and say, how can I ever get one up on them when they know God's on their side? And they know they cannot. The greatest thing he can do is to distract you from believing that God is on your side. Number three, we see his omnipotence in the resurrection. Jesus says that the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to take it up again. As Rusty sang about the cross today, Christ put himself on that cross. He allowed him to suffer and die in our place. But he gives us this promise, and that is the promise of the resurrection. That because he is God omnipotent, and that is the founding doctrine of the church, that Christ is God omnipotent, that he has always existed, is phrased this way in the scriptures: by him, Jesus, were all things made, and without him was not anything made that was made. And why are they made? All things were created for his pleasure, and by his pleasure they were created. Parents, have you ever asked yourself the question, why did we decide to have children? We both know why you did. Because one day, you and your spouse said, let's have children. That we can love them and they can love us, and there's going to be such pleasure in having them. That's the way God created us. Now, when Jesus walked on the earth, one day going through the town, Jerusalem, there was a woman whose son had died. They had him on a stretcher coming out of the house. Jesus said, stop. Jesus laid his hands on him he lived again. Jairus' daughter had died. The family was weeping. He took Peter, James, and John and went into the room where she was and said, Tabitha, arise. She rose. And then for 3 days, Lazarus has laid in a tomb. When Jesus said to take the stone away, his sisters insisted it's not good. There's going to be an odor. And Jesus said, I've got it. I've got it. And then he just cries out, Lazarus, come forth. But when he's crucified, when he dies on the cross, and he's laid in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and his followers are weeping and broken. See, they don't know the plan. They don't understand that death cannot contain him. That death cannot hold him. For on the third day, the stone was rolled back. And he stepped forth triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. You see, he is omnipotent even in death. But let's make this personal, friends. We lose people that breaks our hearts. We lose our children. We lose our parents. We lose dear friends, and our heart grieves for them. But we have that promise in the Word of God from an omnipotent God that they will live again. When Jesus approaches the tomb of Lazarus, his sisters, Mary and Martha, are weeping. They're broken. And he said, do you believe in the resurrection? And they said, yes. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The man that believes in me, though he may die, he will live again. And we are confident in the last days that the earth will give up her dead. No, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't understand it scientifically. But I believe God can bring the bodies back together. If our scientists can take the DNA of animals and make clones, trust me, it ain't nothing for God. He can bring the dead bones together. He can bring it all back together. And that one day, the Bible says, the dead in Christ shall rise. We believe in an omnipotent God that death for him is no problem, and Jesus proved it through his own resurrection. We have hope. We have assurance that God never fails. And you know, we talk about God being omnipotent, but you know there are some things that God cannot do. God cannot lie. He can do nothing against his nature. God cannot lie. God cannot fail. And God cannot participate in evil. He cannot. Because it is against who he is. It is against his nature. It can't happen. We serve an omnipotent God. Now look at this fourth point here quickly. We see his omnipotence in his understanding. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. Now, I want to make this a little more personal. And for some of you, I think that you'll understand this. God even understands you. I've done a lot of counseling this week. Counseled with several couples going through difficult times. individuals fighting drug addiction, parents whose teens are making bad choices, individuals who feel like that their life amounts to nothing. And I will sit and talk, and I'm praying the whole time, God, give me understanding, give me wisdom. Let me tell you this, and please don't take this wrong. Some of you are weird. Some of you are weird. Now, don't get me wrong. You may think I'm weird. But I can't figure you out. But here's the neat thing. God's got you. He understands why you do what you do. He understands what your fears are and what your needs are. He understands how to get you from point A to point B. He understands how to bring you through any storm or any fire, because great is His understanding. You see, He created you. He knows what your weaknesses are. He knows what your strengths are. He knows what He can lay on your shoulders, and He knows what He has to take away from you. That's the God you serve. You see, God is omnipotent. His power knows no limits. Our question is, why are we so hesitant to depend on Him? Why do we want to, well, God, I don't know if I can trust you here. God, I don't know if I can handle it there. We talk about having a strong faith. And I think that we all want a strong faith, because we want the confidence that God's going to take us through everything. When we have strong faith, we know we're going to enjoy God's blessings. And as we've been talking, to have strong faith, we have to have spiritual disciplines. Here's what that means. As you begin to spend time with God in prayer and the study of the Word, you begin to grow in your faith. You begin to get stronger. When you begin to trust God with a tithe, which is 10% of your income, you believe to see that God can take the 90% and stretch it, and that God's going to bless me because of it. When you get connected with other Christians and you begin to see how God is working in their life, you begin to think, well, wow, God will do that in my life. And as you begin to serve Him, you'll begin to enjoy His fullness in your life. We serve a great God. Now, I have here a scripture verse for you I wanted to share. This is from the book of Ephesians 3:20. Now, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I think Paul is so caught up in the awesomeness of God. Paul is so caught up in what he has seen God do, and he knows God does, that he says, do you see His awesomeness? Do you see His power? And it is throughout all generations. That means us forever and ever and ever. Amen. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, He said, go into the world and preach the gospel, and I will be with you forever and ever. Amen. In other words, He's there with us. We are never alone. Paul phrased it, if God be for us, who can be against us? You know, if I was walking through an area where there were some evil people out to get me, I wouldn't mind having Superman along with me. But Superman has a weakness that's called kryptonite. God has no weaknesses. God has no failures. He never gets tired. Nothing ever impacts Him. We're never alone. Remember, spiritual disciplines build strong faith that yields God's blessings in our life. If you're thinking, I want to have a stronger faith, how do I do it? You begin getting close to God. You begin developing intimacy with God. You begin being obedient to God. God wants to bless you. But he says, this is where you've got to be for my blessings. Come over here. Leave the world. Leave everybody else. Come here where I'm blessing and enjoy me and my blessing. You can stay seated, but let's share together our quote that God is enough. Would you share this with me? God is enough. He sees all, knows all, is everywhere, and can do anything. He created me, loves me, guides me, and provides for me. I will walk with him, talk to him, trust him, and obey him. God is enough for me. Me. So what should we do if we believe God is enough? What do we do if we believe that God truly is omnipotent? What do we do as we consider the vast expanses of space that our Father just spoke it into existence? What do we do? Let me share one more scripture verse with you. 1 Peter 5 and 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. You see, we can talk about the awesomeness of God and the awesomeness of his power. But until you humble yourself before him, you're not going to see his power. Before you become obedient to him, you will not see a display of his power in your life. We're told by Peter, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And to be perfectly honest about it, that's tough. And I know that's tough. Because to humble ourselves means that we acknowledge to God that we can't do it, that we have failed, and we need help. And that goes against our human nature. We want to feel like I've got everything under control. I've got my life handled. But to come before God and say, God, I need you. I've got a situation in my family, Lord, and I can't do it. I've got this stack of bills here on the table, and my job's questionable, God. I don't know what to do. I need you. Lord, I've got a mess in my family. Kids making some bad decisions. God, I can't do it. I need you. Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Trust you that he might in due time deliver you. You see, the patriarchs believed God was enough. And they humble themselves under God's mighty hand. Now, what God would have you do today is simple. God would have you say, Father, I yield to you in my life. I yield to your authority. You are God omnipotent. What our enemy would have you do is say, God, I really don't need you. I've got it. I can do it. Or think about it. Wait till next week. Is God omnipotent? Omnipotent in your life? Would you stand with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to challenge you today. Are you leaning and depending on the omnipotence of God in your life? Now, there are some of you who are struggling today, and I want to invite you to slip out from where you stand and come to an altar and pray. And pray and say, God, I need you. God, I need your power in my life. I cannot deal with this family situation alone. I need you. God, I can't deal with what's going on in my life. I need you. I failed. I've messed up, Lord. I can't do it. I need you. I need your power. I need your authority in my life, Lord. I need you. As long as you think you can do it, He will let you do it until you find out that failure is a result. Do you want to fail again? Is it what you're up against too great that you would fail? When you need to cry out, God, have mercy on me. God, have mercy. If you'd say, Pastor, I'm going through a battle right now. If you would just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, remember me when you pray. I'm going through a battle. Father God, the struggles are real. The battles are overwhelming. And Lord, sometimes we feel like we're just at the end of our ropes. Oh, Father, build our faith. Build our faith, God. May we be able to trust you, Lord, when the storm is at its zenith. Maybe we be able, Father, to just lean upon you in everything. Father, I know there are those here who are broken. We pray that you would heal. There are those seeking direction. We pray that you might guide. And there are those, Father, who are battling you. They want to lead their life. They don't want to surrender it to you. And we pray that in wisdom they would wake up, Lord, and see that you have their best in mind and you can make their life a thing of success. So, Father, this day we pray and plead in that matchless name of Jesus. We pray for deliverance. We pray for healing. We pray for a move of God in our lives. Have your way in my life and in our church and in our families. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated.